Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. This is your host, Felicia DeRozier, and I've got my amazing co-host here,
Cross.
He's my sidecar today. That happens to be my son, in case you didn't know, my 11-year-old son. He is a Bible whiz and a Greek and Hebrew master. Is that right, buddy?
Maybe.
He's working on it. And today we have a special guest. We're so excited about it. You're so excited about it. Do you want to tell him who's with us?
Pastor Sean Stafford.
Pastor Sean Stafford.
Hey.
So Pastor
Hello.
Sean Stafford. Hey, buddy. So he is our pastor over at Cornerstone Church.
Yep.
Man, I'm so excited that he has become a pastor. This is a recent development because Pastor Sean has been serving in so many different capacities in our church. And you met him. How'd you meet him, Cross? Do you want to tell us?
I think it was kids ministry.
Yeah, probably in children's church, right?
Yeah.
Because this guy, like, just has a heart to serve the Lord wherever he is called. And a place that he chose to serve was with our children in children's ministry. And I know he's kind of a hero of sorts for you, isn't he?
Yeah, he's like, really awesome.
I totally remember you, like, going through your wardrobe and trying to tailor it to Pastor Sean. Like, you were like, I need to look a little more like this guy, right? Little bit. He's nodding. So, you know, there's nothing better than having a solid man of God outside of that father relationship in your son's life, and it certainly had a huge impact on you, right? So we're very thankful you're here with us, Pastor Sean.
Well, Cross, while I've got you, I'm gonna kind of give you some praise, because having you in class and just your knowledge of the Bible, but more your passion for God's Word, and for scripture was super inspiring to me. So especially early on when I first started teaching in there, having you in the class, answering all the questions and sometimes even teaching me stuff. So thank you for your passion for the things of God, your passion for the Word, and your strong faith. So even at a young age, you were a big inspiration to me. So I thank you, Cross.
Of course.
That's cool, right? Yeah. Yes, we're proud of him, and he always has good things to share in these Bible studies, and usually corrects my Hebrew and Greek pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah. So I'm ready for that correction. Okay,
all right.
Well, as is our normal way of doing things, of course we always kind of start up.
Tis tradition.
We start out on the commercial break because otherwise I'll forget. So we're going to start out on some commercials, and then we will be back to see you soon.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now. So why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marty.com carries high quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marty.com. Marty.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marty.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marty.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and to keep those landfills light, and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marty.com.
Please check out the Proof Negative Radio Show, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. That is 6 to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, with excellent co-hosts, outstanding guests, and lots of great conversation. We can even take your calls. The number is 319-527-6208. And just press lucky number 1 and you will be on the Proof Negative radio show. I want to tell everyone about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal. Flip-flops are the most worn shoe. Even in America, almost everyone wears cheap flip-flops during the summer, sometimes even all year long. It's because they don't want to wear shoes, but there is 60 years of social stigma to overcome. Most people think it is illegal to drive a car, go to a store, or eat in public without shoes on. The fact is, there are zero laws, health department stuff, insurance regulations, etc. about going barefoot. Not only that, it is actually safer and more healthy to go barefoot than wear most shoes that we have been wearing for the last half century. Please check out the website barefootislegal.org and check out all of our social media. Going barefoot is safe, healthy, and legal. Barefootislegal.org.
All right, guys, well, welcome back to Dynamic Word Bible Study.
Oh, woo! From the long road to commercials.
To the long road to the commercials. The commercials, yeah, that's a little stressful for me on my side. I've got to be honest. Like, I'm switching from my notebook to my switchboard. So, Cross, did you want to pray for us today, open us up in some prayer before we hit the word?
Sure.
Pass off. Okay. He's a chaplain's aide at Boy Scouts, so he always announces hats off.
Hats off, everybody. I pray like 2 times each meeting. I always say hats off because that's what chaplains aide do. Lord God, thank you for this day. Thank you that we are able to come to this radio show with our awesome guests. And we hope that the rest of the week goes well for us and our guests. And hope that your words come out of mom's mouth, not hers. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 I bet you always hope that come out of my mouth and not mine. Well, today that's a genuine thing. We really want it just to be what God wants to say, right?
7 minutes into the show, she already gets me.
I didn't mean. Okay, so we're going to talk about our key scripture verse today. So if you've got your Bible, please open it up to Romans chapter 12. We're going to be covering really 3 through 6, but we're going to go ahead and read through 8 because I just hate bringing verses out of context. It feels like I'm cherry picking it. I don't like doing that. So let's go ahead and read. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of his faith that God has assigned to him. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of each other. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who acts with mercy, with cheerfulness. So that's kind of our little focus scripture for today. And then, I don't know, are you going to help me read scriptures today, Cross?
Maybe.
Okay. What? I've got a mark, don't stress. So really what we want to do is talk about, you know, we've heard we're on mission for Jesus, and we want to know what my part in carrying out Jesus' mission really looks like. Does that sound good?
Mm-hmm.
So let's picture it. Jesus ministered for 3 years, and during that time, sharing the good news of redemption. He's crucified, but he rises again in power and glory, proving to the world that he is without a doubt, he was everything that he claimed to be. Because if he wasn't, God wouldn't have raised him from the dead, right? Like, that's like the ultimate stamp of it. Okay?
In one of these episodes, I really want to talk about the theory and, like, all the reasons that's incorrect.
Oh, okay, yes. We're reading this book. Yes, well, we can do an apologetics session or two if you want to. That's fine. That's awfully heady for mommy, but.
I can just, like, tell
You can tell them all the reasons. Okay. So let's look really quick here what Jesus does next. He rises from the dead. He's getting ready to ascend to the Father in heaven. And then this is what he ends us with. Do you want to read Matthew 28:18-20 there, buddy? Oh, it's too small for you?
I said it's all too small, but it's too small.
Okay, next one.
All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. I am always...
In the Father.
And the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am always to the end of the age. I'm with you always to the end of the age.
Yeah, you forgot your glasses today, didn't you, buddy?
No.
So, we don't really have to imagine it because that's reality. That command was for us, all of the disciples, the disciples that were there at that time and the disciples now until the end of the age, right? That's why he said that he was with us till the end of the age. That wouldn't have made sense for the disciples that were there.
Right.
Because they weren't there to the end of the age. It's still the age and we're still going, right? So here's the question. Where'd Jesus go? Okay, so Cross is pointing up, right? He's in the heavenlies, wherever heaven is. I don't know the way to heaven without dying. You know, we don't really know exactly how to get there. There's not a road. But he told us exactly where he was going. So when we get to heaven, we'll know where to find Jesus. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
When we get to heaven, we'll know just where to find Jesus. And I'm going to show you in the Bible where it says.
And
we're going to
be, like, just engraved into our minds.
Sure. Why not? So we're going to go to Luke chapter 22, and we're going to verses 67 through 69. Okay?
I just imagine a guy with a hat and a map, and he's like, do you know where God's throne room is?
I know, right? Okay, so you do know where he is. He says, where's God's throne room? Okay. So if you're the Christ, so he's talking before the council, and he says, if you're the Christ, tell us, this council member. But he says to them, if I tell you, you will not believe, and if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man, that's his own title that he's giving himself. You'll find more details on that in Daniel chapter 7. The Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God. So where is he seated?
Right hand.
The right hand. Now, I'm going to tell you this is really common knowledge, okay? And the reason I'm going to say it's common knowledge is because you're also going to find it in the Hebrews. So let's turn to Hebrews real quick.
Also, in chapter 12. In one of the Gospels, the Sons of Thunder, their mom asked if each of her sons could sit at Jesus' right hand and his left. So I'm like, wait, but wouldn't that mean that one of them would be between God and Jesus?
Right. Can't have it between God and Jesus, can he? Okay, so... There's actually like this whole thing about what the right hand signifies in the Bible. So the right hand may not, it generally means a position when we're saying that he's seated at the right hand of God, but that also talks about being in authority and power and glory. Okay, so there's like a whole study about that, okay? So let's see here. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, so we actually know where Jesus went, right?
I'm in the Bible so many times.
You are all over the Bible, right? That's how we named you. So Jesus kind of already did his job. Yes, go ahead.
Can I just read one more that gives us that same point of where Jesus is? And it's just because I think it ties in with what we're talking, and it's just a verse that I love. And I'm going to read it from NLT, and it says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. And I just think because we're going to start touching on God's Spirit and the Holy Spirit working in our lives. So, anyway.
Absolutely, we are. That's where we're going. Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. A wonderful addition there. So, Jesus kind of already did his job, right? Okay, he came, he ministered, he shared the truth of God and laid it all out for us, gave his life on the cross, created the new covenant, came back to show that he meant business, and now he does. He gets to rest for the end of the age, okay? And he's given us the job to do, and that's to finish his business during the gospel throughout the world. You don't need to wait for a special invitation, special training, school, or a special blessing to serve God. It's already there in the scripture that we're supposed to be doing it, okay? So point number one, a lot of times people go, well, I don't really know exactly what to do. Well, we know that we're supposed to be helping to share the gospel, right? Mm-hmm. Okay? But point number one is that there's been lots of people who don't know what to do when God's calling them, and he's going to use whatever you have available to you right now. So God uses what we have. I want to turn to Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Now, in this scenario, this is where Moses is meeting God as the burning bush, okay? You know the Hebrew something? Did you want to share it right now?
Okay. So I think I've mentioned it on the show before, but when God is speaking to Moses and Moses says, okay, he's trying to make up excuses not to go. And they're really bad, by the way. Anyways, he's like, well, what if people ask the name of the God who has sent me?
Mm-hmm.
And in Hebrew, God responds, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, he has sent me to you. But Moses can't say Yahweh because Yahweh in Hebrew means I will, and only God knows what he will be, so Moses can't use that version. And so in the next sentence, God says, what to call him. He says, Ehyeh is I will be. And
okay.
Yahweh, he will be. He says, tell them Yahweh, God, your ancestors.
Okay, yes, I understand. So that's the difference between saying, I'm like this, and saying, tell them he's like this. Got it. Okay, yes, very, very true. Because if he said, I'm like this, it would be like Moses perceiving himself as God.
Right.
Right? So that's a good distinction there. So in chapter 4, we see Moses, and we see him asking God, you know, about whether or not the Hebrews will know that he's been sent by God. So then Moses answers, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. And the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? And, of course, Moses is a shepherd, right? So what's
his father-in-law?
Right. So what's in his hand? A staff, a shepherd's staff. And he says, throw it on the ground. And so he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it, of course. But the Lord said to Moses, put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. So, I wanted to finish out to verse 5. That they may believe that the Lord your God of their fathers, for the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob has appeared to you. So some points about this. God didn't wait to call Moses until he had acquired a high-level degree or a vast fortune. He used the shepherd's staff that Moses had been using to lead his sheep for years and made it into an instrument to show God's glory so that he could also lead Israel out of captivity. God's already given each of us something in our hand. We have gifts, we have talents, we have possessions, we have passions, we have interests, and all of that can be used for God's glory. Our talents may not display their supernatural influence right away, like Moses' staff did, but sometimes they might, right? They may sometimes. But when we are thoughtful about using our gifts, talents, and resources to glorify God, there's nothing too common for God to do. Do you have anything that you wanted to add in there, Pastor Sean?
I love to, like, so, and Cross kind of touched on it, how he keeps giving excuses. And when you go down to verse 10, he gives him another excuse. And he says, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since
right.
You have spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue. And so he's, again, right. He's giving, you're telling me to go, and sometimes we can have that approach, right? We're to go and proclaim the good news, proclaim the gospel, and we can have that same kind of approach. Like, well, I'm not a pastor, a teacher, a theologian. I'm not eloquent with words. I can't speak like so-and-so, and we can give these excuses. But God then reminds, he's like, I'll give you the words. And then he argues with him again. He says, well, then take Aaron. And so, and the point I'm kind of going with is, like, we sometimes don't think we're equipped to go, but God here, he's promising, he's like, if you're willing and you're willing to obey and step out in faith, I'm going to equip you because I've called you. And so just remembering that it's really God who's with us, and God will give us what we need to do what he's calling us to do.
Right. I absolutely agree with that. And I will say, like, I know for me, this has been a problem because I know I always kind of feel like I want a stamp of approval from someone in authority.
Mm-hmm.
To say that I'm doing, you know, and at some point I was, there's a long story as to how this radio show got started, but I was in school and my professor basically said that he was challenging each of his students to preach through a book of the Bible, which was easy for everyone else because they were all pastors, but I didn't have a place of ministry. But what I did have available to me was this opportunity to purchase some airtime and to develop this radio show. So that's what we did, you know, and so we don't always have to wait for this special permission, this seal of approval somehow that we're okay to do it, you know. Sometimes we just need to, God has told us to do, which is go out and preach the word.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Seems simple.
Yeah.
Seems
simple. And the truth of the gospel is that approval that we so often seek from others and from the world, we have that approval in the only one whose opinion really matters, and that's Christ. And so to walk in that truth as well. So, and I love how that goes with using our gifts and serving. Sometimes the best way to do it is you got to just jump in and do it. And maybe you didn't feel equipped, but you just jumped in and you're going to tackle different books of the Bible. And then God just starts, as we're obedient, he'll just start to speak to us and we kind of unpack. And sometimes we find our gifts simply by just starting to serve somewhere. And that's kind of what you do with the show, you know?
Well, Sean, that could preach right there, couldn't it? Like, that's a whole sermon in itself. So yeah. I want to pull open 1 Corinthians 10:31, okay? Because I want to point out that sometimes we think that what we have to offer is nothing. One of the things that we did in our house for a long time is just feed our neighbors. I know that sounds stupid because they were all adults on their own, capable of cooking, but I always had a little extra food. And I'd always be like, hey, do you need dinner? Why don't you just come over? And we had a really good friend who really moved from being a Wiccan into being a Christian just by being in fellowship and hanging out with us, right? So so something as simple as, which seems really ignoble, just setting an extra setting at your table, you know, that can even be done to the glory of God. And I want to show you this in the Bible, that God likes food too. Okay. So, 1 Corinthians 10:31, right? I mean, seriously, we're going to a wedding feast. Okay. He put it out there for enjoyment. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so, of course that was in a different context. That was, about sacrificial meat and stuff like that. But the point is that you can eat to the glory of God. You can drink to the glory of God. You can add people to your table and that can glorify God. Then I want to talk about the faith of the boy. Now, Caitlin and I actually just watched this episode of The Chosen that features this story. I didn't even mean to do that. I was actually watching for the Walking on the Water scene. But John chapter 6, 1 through 13, I don't think I have time to read the entirety of the scripture, but I'm giving you the reference here so that you can go back and look at it yourself because I don't want to run out of time. This is when Jesus is sitting before a crowd of 5,000 extremely hungry people. And they have no food. They have some money, but no food. And they're way out in the middle of nowhere, so buying bread is not really an option at this point. So Jesus basically asks, well, what do we have? Okay? And we're going to kind of travel down to verse 9, where Andrew This is Simon Peter's brother. He comes in and says, there's a boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? So God doesn't expect us to have the means to feed the 5,000. What happened after that, Cross?
He multiplied the bread and the fish.
Can you say that a little louder? Because
he multiplied the bread and the fish.
He multiplied the bread and the fish, right? So it did feed the 5,000 because someone offered the little that they had in faith, knowing that Jesus could do a lot with a little, right? And that's really what we're called to do as believers, right?
Yeah.
Did you want to add something to that there, Pastor Sean?
No, I do. I think that, again, I love how you're just touching, because you're touching on what are those barriers that keep us from being obedient to the Great Commission and the call to go out? And that's 100% one, is just this idea that what we have to offer isn't enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I don't know enough. And we tell ourselves those lies, but we see all throughout Scripture that it's not us. Again, it goes back to Moses, right? When he asked, like, you know, who am I? God kind of ignores that question, and he writes Moses. It's not about who you are, Moses. It's about who I am thing here. It's not about
right.
what we have to offer. It's what, you know, what, give it and submit it to Jesus, and he can take anything we give him and multiply it beyond anything we could do on ourselves. And that's really where we want to be, in that place of where we're completely dependent on him to move and to work, because that's where we find our strength.
I absolutely agree. And then I'm going to say that, and now we're going to move into a different topic here, that it has to do with a little bit of sometimes we think too lowly of ourselves, but also sometimes
yeah.
we can think a little too highly of ourselves, right? Okay. Oh. it's a fine balance. So in God's hand, there is no gift, talent, or resource that's too insignificant for him to move in power and use it mightily. On the other hand, God did not call any of us because we were especially talented, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we ever think to ourselves, well, God called me because I have this ability or that ability, we're already in the wrong boat. Okay, God has
yep.
the ability to equip us for whatever he needs us to do, and he will, right? But whenever we're worried about whether or not we are especially equipped in something, we're moving at our own strength. But he called us because he loves us and wanted to show us mercy and grace. I'm going to talk back to that Romans verse 12 or chapter 12, verse 3 that we started at here. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So God assigns the measure of faith. Okay. And so we just operate within that. Because God is wonderful, he loves allowing us to partner with him in his plans. And currently his plans are sharing the gospel with the world, right? But eventually there'll be the new kingdom and there'll be other work for us to do. Did you ever think that you have too little? Think about Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 3. Again, I'm just going to reference this. I'm not going to go there right this second. But this is the widow that offers 2 mites, which are like basically like pennies, like the smallest currency that you could have. She offers 2 mites, and Jesus praises her because he says she's given more than everybody else who gave an offering. They gave out of their abundance, and she gave out of everything that she had. She gave her very living, okay? So it may seem like something small to us, but God notes the significance of every gift. And then also think about the widow of Zarephath who feeds Elijah. You'll find this story in 1 Kings. I didn't write the whole reference. I'll have to look up that reference, and I'll get it to you guys too. It might be 18.
I'm
not entirely sure.
I can
find it. You know, I might have marked it. Let's see if I marked it well, because I usually try to go ahead in the Bible and mark it. You would have thought that I would have noticed a partial reference when I did that. No, this is not the right reference. So I'll have to post the reference up on our it could be.
Yeah, I think it's 17.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Quick? Okay. So
First Kings 17, starting verse 7, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
Anyway.
So the widow is feeding Elisha. She doesn't have enough oil and enough flour except to bake one small loaf of bread for her and her son. And then once it runs out, they're in this drought. And she's like, and then my son and I are just going to starve to death. We're going to die. We don't have enough. And Elijah says to go ahead and bake for him and that God will continue to provide sustenance for her and her son and for Elijah until the end of the drought. And he does. God shows up when we give ourselves what we have in faith. Did you have anything that you wanted to add there, Pastor Sean?
That idea of, when you say they gave out of their abundance, I think sometimes when we think of giving or offer, like we think, yeah, it's only those with a lot that can give. But really, we're all called, just like when she gave the two mites, she gave everything she had. And to circle back to Romans 12:1 is one of my favorite verses, but we're all called to do that same very thing, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, to offer everything we have to God, right? Our hands, our feet, our words, right, our hearts, all of it. And this is our act of worship to God. So again, yeah, we can get in that, well, I don't have a bunch like that person, so what am I going to give? Well, really, we're called to lay down our life and offer everything we have to him. And we don't give out of abundance. We just give him our life and we give him our obedience. And that's the way we worship God, by being obedient and having a posture of worship.
Right.
Know?
Right, and I think two things that I can say, and we're over time, so we'll just truncate a little bit the Q&A later, but because I want to finish this up a little bit. There's two kind of points to this I think that we need to make, and the first one is that financial offering. I remember, especially early on in marriage, and then I was a single mom for a while, like financial struggles are a very real thing where our family has been concerned, and tithing can be tough when you're in that position where you're literally looking at the budget and going, I have just enough to pay the bills if I don't tithe, but I'm called to tithe. And in those moments where you are obedient and you give to the Lord over and abundantly, that's really where you see God move. I cannot stress enough the actual financial blessing. When God makes a promise in the Bible that if you give, he'll give it back to you over and abundant and overflowing, that's absolutely true, and we've always seen God come through in those sorts of ways, but you can't see that happen if you don't walk in obedience. So that's the financial aspect of it. The other thing, and I think that Cross will like this because we're gonna talk a little bit about a Hebrew word, okay? His little eyes perk up, okay? When we talk about where Jesus says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Okay. And so that verse is referring to an Old Testament verse, right? Which says, love your God, the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, right? And a lot of times people say, well, Jesus added strength. And it's like, No.
No, Jesus said added mind.
Added mind. Okay. So some people will say that Jesus added mind, and he didn't, actually. That's just how things are translated, okay? The original word, ma'od, right? What does that mean?
In some translations, it would be translated as money or mind or strength, but in ancient Hebrew translations, it would be translated as muchness.
Yeah, it's like everything, right? You're everything, and that's the point.
So when they say God with all of your ma'od, ma'od doesn't limit the amount of things you can do to love God. It's just the opposite, like, it's about devoting, like, everything that you have and own, everything, all your money to God.
To like, a limitless proportion.
Right.
Okay. So yes, we are supposed to be that living sacrifice. Everything that we have is supposed to be for God. So one last point, and then we'll cut to commercial again, and we'll get ready for you to share your testimony there, Pastor Sean. We're all part of the body. And sometimes we don't understand the significance of our contribution to the kingdom of heaven. We can do far and above what God can do far and above what we can. and he owns everything. But any time that we endeavor to serve God, our greatest contribution is our obedience to serve him. This can feel really wrong if we spend our time comparing our contributions to others. We may feel like our contributions are menial, but God doesn't see them that way. He sees them as obedience. And so I have a reference here of James chapter 4, verse 17. We'll go ahead and read that because it's just one little verse here. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it's sin. Okay, so we want to make sure that we're walking in obedience and honoring God with our actions. A body is one. When it refers to us as a church body, we're one. We wouldn't refer to our finger as our body, right? It's the wholeness of the body, right? Although the finger is a part of our body. This seems pretty obvious, but let's face it, if we don't realize that who we are and what we do matters to God and the whole church, we're tempted to stop showing up, stop serving, and stop trying to see where God can take us. We stop pursuing the Great Commission as our personal calling. Hebrews, did you want to read this, Cross? Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. Let me see. I'm sure I have it marked here. Okay, 10. Right there.
All right. And let us hear. Your house shall never love and support, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Okay, so that's talking about us meeting together as a church body, right? It encourages us all to stay connected to the body of believers. This community can consist of your church, small groups, parachurch ministries, and any Christian community focused on building up believers and sharing the gospel. We're a part of something bigger than ourselves now. We're a part of bringing redemption's message to a hurting world, but a body works best when all of its parts do what they were made to do naturally. Can you imagine if you had to think every time that you wanted your liver to do liver things or that you wanted your kidney to do things, right? Your mind, which is in control of your body, doesn't, right? Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, we did, yes, because I was thinking about this. Like, could you imagine if your mind had to tell every single part of your body what to do when? We would die. Like, the first time we went to sleep, it was
heart
not, right, heart, please keep beating, lungs keep breathing, you know, but those are the more obvious ones. Kidneys, do what kidneys do, right? If your kidneys didn't do what they were doing, you would die, right? Kidney failure is a thing, okay? So, again, we don't want to wait for special permission to function as we were made to function in the body of Christ. And then we need to do our part rather than coveting someone else's part and let God open up opportunities to fill. So you may find that you're involved in a ministry that's really awesome or a church that's really awesome, but they have a lot of moving parts and you're not one of those. That's okay. You still need to be a part of that church body and do what you're supposed to within that church body, right? But there, maybe God's calling you to their church ministry. Maybe God's calling you to minister to your neighbors. You know what I mean? So the point is to express and do the Great Commission wherever you go, and God's going to open up those doors of opportunity for you. All right? And I think that's it for me, and I can kind of be quiet for a little bit. that was my bit. Right now we'll cut to commercial break. We are a little bit behind, but we'll make sure you get your extra 10 minutes there so that you can share your testimony, and we will be back very, very soon.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now. So why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marty.com carries high quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marty.com. Marty.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, Sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marty.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marty.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and to keep those landfills light and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marty.com.
Hey, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen. I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com, and you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical garden that you can grow inside or outside of your house. So if you have a back patio or you don't have room outside, you can grow in either way. And I have a bunch of stuff growing on mine. I have pictures to share. I love this thing. This is the best garden and most successful that I've ever had for gardening for my own self. So let me give you the website again, groundwithagarden.com. That's groundwithagarden.com.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to WeFunder.com/groundswellcard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
All right, guys. Well, welcome back to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. If you're just joining us and you weren't here before, I'm your host, Felicia DeRozier. My awesome co-host,
Cross,
he happens to be my son, and he's pretty awesome. We dig him.
And then the silent one.
Well, Caitlin does happen to be present. We won't hear from her. She doesn't like to be on air. That's okay. And then we've got a special guest with us. Would you like to give him a proper and appropriate introduction?
I'd love to. All right, we have, in case you're just joining us, Pastor Sean Stafford. Woo!
Woo!
Sean Stafford is born in Las Vegas, Nevada. He has been married to his wife for 12 years. They have four amazing kids. Sean is an account executive at a state restaurant and a licensed pastor with the Foursquare Church, which also happens to be our church. He loves spending time with his family, coaching his son, and staying active. He has a passion to share God's word and help equip those he serves to use their God-given giftings to serve God and to serve one another.
Yeah.
Please welcome Pastor Sean Stafford.
Woo!
Hello,
just before we get started, I want to say that I think that Pastor Sean is one of those really wonderful examples of somebody who comes in and is willing and able to serve in every area to allow God to use him to his fullest. And I really admire that about Pastor Sean, that he starts out in ministries that maybe not everybody would want to start out in. And he tools up there and he serves God there. And because of that, God's just blessed him with more and more opportunities. So Pastor Sean, we'd love to hear about your perspective on how God has really come in and worked through your life.
Well, first, I just want to thank you both for having me on the show, and I appreciate the warm intro. And I think I want to start and kind of piggyback on what you just said, Felicia, on just that idea of kind of how I started and got started into ministry. And I love Romans 12, where we're spending some time today and talking about the body of Christ and this truth that we all are given God-gifted abilities and gifts and talents, and we are to use those to serve the church, and we use those to operate in the body of Christ or the church. And just like a human body, if we're not all working together and operating, then that body isn't able to function and do what it's supposed to do. So it's really important, and I want people to understand that God has given you a gift. He has given you skills and abilities and talents, and he wants you to use those in the body of Christ, and you're vitally important to that body, for that body to live out and do what it's supposed to do. And sometimes I think we think other people have more important roles than others, but every role is important, and God places each of us exactly where he wants us to fill his purposes. So I just encourage, wherever you are in ministry, it is vitally important to the body of Christ. And why I bring that up is how I kind of, people ask me the question, like, how'd you get into ministry? And funny enough, it started super simple. I grew up at Cornerstone, and I moved to Reno, so I was gone for about 8 years. And then about 2014, we were back in Vegas, and we were back at Cornerstone. And I think it was a couple years after that, we had just been going on Sundays. I wasn't quite serving yet. And somebody had asked me, like, hey, Sean, would you do announcements? And so I was like, sure. And so basically all I would do is announce a couple of things that were going on in the church. And it was funny in that moment, I would have never thought that would have been my place, because I was kind of newly back in the church, if you will. And so, but anytime I would be on announcements, God would just, it would be maybe a song or something I read in the Bible. He would place these things on my heart. And I remember I would be kind of hesitant. I'm like, well, I don't know if I'm supposed to share these. It's just announcements. But I was like, you know what? He's calling me to do this, so I'm going to be obedient. So I would share those things. And from there, Pastor Jen, she's one of the pastors at our church. She was doing announcements, and she kind of put a challenge out to the church, and she said, "Hey, we need volunteers in kids ministry." She's like, "You know, you don't have to teach. We really just need people to hang out with the kiddos." And so I was just like, "You know what? Okay." So I signed up, and I decided to jump into kids ministry. And the first few times I did it, I was just there, kind of playing with the kids, hanging out, just kind of a support. And then our children's pastor, our Miss Ali'i, our teacher, she had asked me, she's like, hey, do you want to kind of jump in and start teaching? So I started teaching. And then, you know, Pastor Joey, he said, hey, do you want to jump in and do one of the sermon points on one of my sermons on a Sunday? So I jumped in and I just did like the final part of one of his sermons. And then from there, he said, hey, do you want to tackle a whole sermon? So I did that. And then shortly after that, hey, do you want to get licensed? And so why I bring that up is, started off just with a small yes. Yes, I'll do announcements. Yes, I'll go into kids ministry. Yes, I'll tackle one point. Sure, I'll jump into a sermon. And it was just this, it was just a continual being open to what God was calling me to do. And I think sometimes when we're in smaller ministries or maybe something that doesn't, you know, seem as important, we get discouraged. But it's like, just say yes and be obedient to where God's calling you, and you never know where he's going to kind of take that. So I would encourage everybody to just start saying yes and start jumping in. And I think that's one of the ways we start to figure out and find out and how God reveals to us where our giftings are, because that's a big question. And you guys will tackle that more next week when you start talking about spiritual gifts. But where has God gifted you? And sometimes you're like, well, I don't really know where I'm gifted. And one of the best ways we can do that is simply to start serving, and you start to figure out, okay, hey, I'm pretty good at this, or I'm really passionate about this, and chances are God is gifting you in places that you're good at and that you're passionate about. And so I think one of the best ways to figure that out is just simply to start serving. So that would be my encouragement to everybody listening is, what is God asking you to do? Is he asking you to be a greeter? Is he asking you to join into kids ministry? And just be obedient to what he's calling you to do, and let him take care of the rest and see where that leads. Understanding wherever that leads, it's vitally important to the body of Christ. So that being said, I'll kind of start to jump into a little bit more of my testimony here. And I think, and I want to kind of start with this, but when we start talking about in that question of what's God done in my life, how's God worked in my life, I think it's so important that all of us spend some time thinking about and asking that specific question of what God has done in your life, because I think it's so easy to forget sometimes how God has moved and worked in your life. And I think we see that all through the Old Testament with the Israelites. You're constantly forgetting God's work and provision in their life. You see that while they're wandering through the wilderness, right? Like, they're grumbling about not having enough food to eat and water to drink, and they're questioning and doubting God's provision, and they're not trusting God. And here he is, he just delivered them out of Egypt, and he parted the Red Sea for them. And we can do that same thing when we're in difficult situations. We can question, we can doubt, and forget, like, wait a minute, God has pulled me through so much. And if he was faithful yesterday, he's going to be faithful today, and he's going to be faithful tomorrow, because God is faithful. And we know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. So he's always going to remain faithful. So I think it's important we spend some time writing our stories and writing our testimonies, because it's a way to remember God's goodness, his love, his faithfulness, and his provision in our lives. I remember a couple years ago, it was actually right during COVID, right when things shut down. So it was the night things shut down. The next day, I went to work. And we went to work because we didn't know what was going on. I'm like, are we essential? Are we not essential? Are we closed? So anyway, we kind of get the rundown and find out. I'm an account executive at a state restaurant, so I sell restaurant supplies. So all the restaurants and hotels were closed. So in essence, there was no reason for us to be open. So we were closing.
Right.
And just a little bit of background, I'm 100% work off commission. So having restaurants and nothing to sell was scary, right? I mean, that's my entire income. So I remember being, obviously, I wouldn't say I was to the point of freaking out, but certainly stressed, certainly worried, certainly a little bit anxiety. I remember I worked with my dad, and I was sharing with him in his office, and he said something so simple yet super profound. And he goes, you know, Sean, God hasn't dropped me. He hasn't dropped his family on our head yet. He's certainly not going to start now. And it was just this reminder that God has been so faithful to me and to my family. He's going to remain faithful even in that situation. And I remember that, that particular day, it was time to go home. And I'm driving home. And I told myself, I'm like, all right, I'm done worrying. I'm done being anxious about it. I'm just going to trust God. And you know how we sometimes have to continually remind ourselves of that, right? Because the second I got into the car, kicks in anxiety and worry, and I start thinking about money. So anyway, I stop at the gas station to get some gas, and I'm filling up my tank, and I'm kind of thinking about it. And I see a homeless guy there, and I just hear God just prompting me. He says, you know, go buy that guy. Go buy him a meal. Go buy him a sandwich. Go get him some supplies. And here I am worrying about, freaking out about money. And God's like, no, go buy him a meal. And in that, I just realized, I'm like, God is big enough to take care of all my needs, take care of all that person's needs, take care of everything. And I learned at that moment, one of the best ways when we're going through difficulties, when we're going through struggles, when we're feeling anxiety, is to jump in and serve and to help and to serve in the body of Christ, because it's really hard to be anxious and worried when you're pouring into other people. So that was, I just loved his timing in that of, like, here I am worrying about money. He's like, hey, go spend some money and take care of this guy. But it was just a reminder from him. Like, you know what, God's in control, and he can provide anything and everything I need. And so as I was thinking this morning, so one of the important reasons of thinking and sharing our story is it helps us to remember what God has done in our life. Another important reason, it's, you know, we are called to know, to enjoy, and to exalt God's glory. So by remembering and telling other people about what God's done in our life, that's exactly what we're doing. We're exalting God's glory and inviting others to know and enjoy and exalt it. And the Bible does tell us, right, we are to what? We're to share our story. Psalms 107 says, let the redeemed of the Lord share their story. And again, I'm just kind of thinking of all the reasons. I'm trying to encourage people to tell your testimony, to share your testimony, to think about your testimony. And one other reason I was thinking about, and this has been really important in my life, is we are to share our story because we're to share first the peace that we've received. And this goes in line with being a people that live on mission. In John chapter 20, 21, he says, peace I give to you. And he says, as the Father sent me, I also send you. So part of that great commission is we are to go out, right, and share the peace we ourselves have received. And we see that in 1 Corinthians too, right? We are to share the comfort we ourselves have received. So we share our story, and when God has delivered us through hardships and comforts us in that, we're then to go out, and that's part of our mission, is to go out and share that peace and share that comfort with other people. And then the last thing before I get into more specifics of my story is, and I think it goes in line with just, again, living on mission, but some of those barriers that we were talking about that keep us from sharing the good news, sharing the gospel is, again, not feeling equipped, not feeling like we know enough, thinking like, you know what, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a teacher, I'm not a theologian. So not thinking we have the capabilities of sharing who Jesus is. And then I also think we can get fearful that we're going to maybe run into somebody that's going to be, you know, maybe combative and want to debate, right? And we're not going to be prepared. Now, I think it is important that we do prepare. The Bible tells us that we should be prepared to share our faith and share the hope that we have. But our testimony is an amazing way and an amazing evangelistic tool because it's really hard to argue with your story and what God's done in your life personally, right? And you see that in John chapter 9 when Jesus heals the blind man, right? The Pharisees, they're kind of running around trying to discredit and disprove what Jesus had done in this man's life. And I love where they're like, tell us who he is. And he kind of gives a great answer. He says, you know, I don't know who he is. I don't know if he's a sinner. I don't know who he is. But here's what I do know. He says, before I met Jesus, I was blind. And after meeting Jesus, I can see. And that's exactly a great kind of background for our story is like, you know what? I don't have all your answers. I don't know everything yet that there's to know, and we'll never know everything. But I can tell you who I was before Jesus, and I can tell you who I was after meeting Jesus. And it's just so I think our stories, it's a great evangelistic tool, and I think we should have those prepared. So anyway, getting into more of my story, the first time I really kind of sat down, I know it's kind of crazy, but the first time I really sat down and decided to write it was probably, I don't know, 4 years ago. I was in a discipleship class, and they gave us this challenge to write a 3-minute testimony, which I think is a great tool, by the way, to have like a 3-minute testimony. Huh? Oh, were you in class together?
I was in that class. Yes.
It's a great class, isn't it? But I love that.
I actually did
tool. Oh, did you? Nice. But I just love that tool because we don't always have 25, 30 minutes to talk with somebody. But it's kind of that idea of 3 minutes to get 20. It's kind of having a story prepared that you can just share with somebody, and then maybe that leads to a 20, 30, 40-minute conversation to really kind of unpack the gospel. But anyway, it was in that so much was open to what God had really done in my life starting as a young boy. Because I remember like, okay, what am I going to share? And I started thinking, I think sometimes people with my background, so I grew up in the church. I was saved at a very young age. I was saved at 6, and I grew up in the church, was always a believer. And so sometimes I was kind of thinking, I'm like, well, I don't have this kind of like crazy story to share. And I think sometimes we can think that like, well, I don't have this like crazy story. And so like, what am I going to tell people? And I started like reflecting on just God's hand of provision in my life. And I kind of went all the way back to being a young boy. and I'll just kind of go over a timeline of just some of the stuff I've walked through and my family's walked through. But, you know, when I was nine, my parents got divorced. And there was a brief time, and I don't fully remember. There was like a little chunk of time that I don't quite exactly remember. But there was, you know, a brief time where my mom was kind of just briefly gone out of the moment. So we were with my dad. And this is part of his story, but I think it goes in line as well as just my story and the family story. But so here's my dad single fathering it with six kids. And at that same time, the restaurant that he had owned had burned down. So here he has six kids and he's having to look for another job, kind of a new career. And he ends up finding where he's at currently now. And it's just been such a blessing in his life. But I just, looking back on that, like God's hand of protection and how he guided my dad through that, and really my dad's unwavering faith and unwavering prayers in God, and how that protected me and my family. Because there's a lot of people that go through a divorce and it wreaks havoc in their life. And here I am, you know, 30 years later, almost thinking like, man, life's been pretty good. Like, what am I going to share? And that's no doubt God's hand of protection over that situation. But that stemmed from my dad's unwavering faith. And so I would encourage parents, like, your faith and your remaining obedience and your continual prayers have a huge impact on your kiddos. And eventually, your kids' faith needs to become their own. But as parents, we certainly put them on the right path. And I see that so much with you, Felicia, and your kids, and just where your kids are with their walk. You know, that is from your faithfulness and your obedience and your continual prayers over their life. But kind of fast forward from there, so they get divorced in 94, and then in 97, both of my parents, my mom was back in the picture, they both remarried. And, you know, anybody that's kind of blended families would know that can be a really difficult task to blend families, especially now to have to blend two families at the same time. And I was about 13 years old, which is kind of just any 13-year-olds or anybody that's been 13 knows that's a really awkward time. But to see God kind of merge and blend those families, and we're all so close these days, is just an amazing testament. Because again, that those are kind of things that really do break apart and kind of can split families. And it's something that really strengthened our family. And then kind of fast forward from 97 to 2002, my mom, she walked out. So I was coming home. We were doing kind of the 50-50 split, and it was her weekend. And we get to her house, and my stepdad's sitting outside, and he said, "Hey, your mom's gone." And we're like, "What? She's gone?" She's like, "Yeah, she left." And just like that, just one day, she's gone. And it went about, I think, 10, 11 years before I had really heard from her or saw her again. And people will ask, like, "Man, like, how was that? Like, how did you, what was that like? How did you walk through that?" And looking back, I'm like, you know what? We literally just went back to my dad's house. And just everything was okay. I mean, not that it didn't hurt, but I never not felt loved and accepted. And again, that's just God's hand of protection and provision over me and over our family, that again, through my dad's faith and through his prayers, where he just protected us and comforted us and gave us peace, even in that situation. And right before that, and this is kind of a cool one, I was just talking to my dad about this, but in 1999, I was just going into high school, and we moved from where we were living up to an area in Las Vegas called Seven Hills. And at that time, there was like literally nothing up there. And I remember calling my brother. We were upset about the move because we had to leave all our buddies, right? And we didn't drive, so I'm like, we're never going to see them all summer. And we had like a really close knit group of friends. So anyway, the summer goes by and high school starts. And I remember it was kind of weird. We saw all our buddies the first day of school, and there was this kind of like quiet, unspoken sense that like we had kind of just drifted apart. And, like, we didn't say it, but, like, you seemed a little different. We were a little different. And the friendship just kind of, like, nothing happened. It just kind of, I don't want to say ended, but they just kind of went their way, and I went, and Cole and I went our way. What's crazy, though, is almost all of those buddies, they ended up shortly after that just getting in a lot of trouble. I mean, drugs and fights, kicked out of school. A couple of them ended up, you know, really struggling with addiction. And looking back and kind of connecting that dot, I'm like, that was God not even, like, I think telling me, like, hey, you might want to go this way, but, like, kind of taking me by the back of the, like, shirt and saying, you know what? I see where this path is leading, and that's not the path I want you on, and just kind of intervening and moving me off of that path. And I often think, I'm like, man, had we stayed on that path, and even I was thinking about Cole, like, Cole moves off of that path and then ends up becoming a pastor himself and going on multiple missions and just talk about a strong witness for Christ. And it's just kind of crazy what that other path would have led to. So it's just cool to see that God just literally grabbed us both and said, nope, I'm moving you over here. Right. So again, let's
I'm correct in interjecting that Cole was not just your brother, but your twin brother as well. Right.
Twin brother. Correct. Yep. And we'll, he's a big part of my story. So we'll get to those kind of those two instances in my life, and I'll get there kind of right now. And I do want to read. Go ahead.
You got about 7 minutes.
7 minutes. Okay. So get to those. Okay. Get to those. All right. So real quick, I do want to read, and this is kind of always like kind of it's just a verse that speaks so much truth to me, but it's also a verse that's kind of sometimes hard to swallow. But it's right here. It says, where am I at? It says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And it's talking about finding joy in pain and hurt and suffering, and how that suffering, it creates perseverance. And when I see that word, I think of like a single-minded focus on God. It teaches us to hone in and focus and put God first. And that perseverance leads to character, which is like a testedness, and that it's like being battle ready. And that testedness only comes through going through hard and difficult situations. And it's that character, that testedness that leads to an increased hope and confidence, assurance of the future glory we're going to receive. And then he talks about right after that how God's love is poured into our lives. And I think he puts it there is because we often feel God's presence and God's love more intently, more intensely, and more deeply in our trials and our sufferings. And why I say all that is because two of the hardest times in my life, I can honestly say, are the strongest builders of my faith. And those two moments are 2008, you were just talking about Cole, Pastor Cole, he was my twin brother, and we lost him, like, super unexpectedly. He was at church, and it was time to go home, and so he gets into his car, and before he turns the key, he passes away, he dies in his car. And he died of something called SUDEP, which is sudden unexpected death in epilepsy. And really the way they diagnose that is if somebody has epilepsy, which Cole did, and they die and they can't really find any causes, they attribute to that. And it's almost as if I kind of think of it as it's like, almost like the brain just shuts off. So anyway, he's getting in his car and he dies in his car. And I remember coming home from that and feeling just like really numb about what had happened. Right. And everybody around me seeing all this crying. And I'm like, I'm questioning myself. I'm like, what's wrong with you, dude? Like, why aren't you grieving more? Why aren't you crying more? Why? Like, it was such an awkward experience for me. And we get to the church to pick up his car. And I'm still struggling with this guilt of like, what's going on with you, dude? You're like, just like so stoic in this. And you start questioning like, they love them more than I did, or, you know, all these like weird thoughts float through your head. And I remember I'm in the sanctuary and I'm sitting on the stairs And all of a sudden, I just get this overwhelming feeling, and I just begin to just let it all out and just cry like I have never cried, and I have not cried like that since. And I didn't really know what was going on, but when I was actually writing my testimony, I connected that dot, and I'm like, you know what, that was God's presence just coming upon me so strongly, almost as if he was just giving me this big hug. And I think of a kid when they get hurt, right? They get hurt, they fall down, and they seem like they're okay with it, right? They're like kind of toughing it out until they see mom and dad, right?
Yeah.
And then and it's like, okay, it's okay to let it out, right? And that's almost that experience. Like, I feel like I was holding all that emotion in until I got into God's presence, and he just hugged me and said, son, it is okay to just let it all out. And I did. I just let it all out, and it was such a just powerful experience for me where I just really felt his love and comfort. And the second time was when we lost my older brother, Justin. That was in 2019, and Justin, he had committed suicide. And I remember we were at Red Rock, and we were that's where it happened. And the helicopter, they had found him, and they were driving him away. And I remember, so it was time to go home, and I'm trying to go quick here. I was getting in my car, and Justin and I, we were like best buds. We talked all the time. He was my guy. When I get in the car, like, first thing I do is call Justin, and we would just chat. And so I remember I'm in the car driving home after we just lost him, and I go to grab my phone to call Justin. Like, it didn't even register to me. And it was like such a just punch in the gut, like, wait a minute, like, I can't call Justin anymore. And I remember just this overwhelming feeling of sadness and hurt and anger. And it wasn't anger at God. There was a little bit of anger at, like, you know, my brother. Like, man, why'd you do that, right? And I can't even explain it to this day, but it was almost as if Jesus was sitting in my front seat just with me. And I just felt his presence so strongly, as if he was just in the front seat. And that went on for like months, because it was always in the car where those feelings of like hurt and sadness and missing him and frustration, they would kind of bubble up. I think because I was alone, and I think that was because kind of that was me and Justin time, if you will. And just for months, it was like,
right,
Jesus was just in that front seat, and it was just his presence just comforting me, letting me know it's okay, giving me peace. And I would say that was just such a catalyst for strengthening my faith of like, man, like, God is with me. He is real. He is here. So it's really, you know, it's a hard concept to gather of like rejoicing in suffering, but that is really the place where our faith is strengthened. And it's really the place where God shapes us and molds us and makes us more Christ-like, which is really his purpose in our life, is to make us more Christ-like. So I encourage anybody that's going through those, any difficult situation, any trial, any suffering, any hurt, any pain, understand, and we don't always want to hear that, but, you know, Romans 28 tells us God is working in that situation, and he is working for your good. He's working for the good of those he loves, and he's called according to his purpose. And we got to remember that his purpose is ultimately to prepare us for future glory and to shape us and to mold us into Christ likeness. And he often does that through those hard situations. So I encourage you just to keep your eyes focused and fixed on Jesus and walk through those, knowing that he's going to take you through those storms. So I think I'm out of time.
Absolutely. you're right there. Man, things I just want to point out is how God has exponentially expanded your trust for him by taking you through hardship, but always being present there. And so a lot of times I think that we think as newer believers, we think to ourselves, oh, well, you know, I don't understand how someone can walk out and put their life into ministry or, you know, do the sorts of things that you're doing. And it's clear through your life experience that God has expanded the amount that you can trust him by taking you through these situations. And the other thing I just wanted to point out is that, you know, you say you started out in ministry with one little yes to making announcements, one small yes here, one small yes there. But it seems to me, as you told the story of your life, that you said yes to God in a thousand other ways before you ever set foot on that stage. You know, and so he was confident that you would say yes, and you could trust him in your yes. So, you know, just to everybody remember our story's not done yet, right? And
yeah,
that God's 100%. Still moving through things. And we expect great things from you, Pastor Sean, okay? So.
appreciate you guys. I appreciate you letting me share. Sure. So, thank you.
You are 100% right that it's about time for us to cut to commercial. So we'll do that at this time. We'll be back in a few minutes with about 10 minutes of Q&A. Woo!
Hey, Freedomist Proof here. Just want to let everybody know that I have a trusted source for EMF protection. So you can block out this 5G possibly from your cell phone or any other electronic devices. Go to groundwithgia.com and please check out the selection of products that you might need to help filter out all this electronic garbage that's going to get into your house and to your life. So most of us have cell phones except for me. You're going to want to protect yourself. We all have Wi-Fi, and you definitely want to do something about this. Please check it out, groundwithgia.com. That's ground with G-I-A. Gia.com.
Just as ungrounded signals wreak havoc on radio communications, there's growing concern that because we are not grounded, we absorb tremendous amounts of electromagnetic radiation from our modern devices. EMF stands for electromagnetic field.
We are all immersed in electromagnetic fields, from Wi-Fi, from the wiring in our homes, and it disturbs our electrical balance. We get charged. Inside of our bodies, we get electrically charged. Some people have as much as 20 volts on their bodies, and that's not good for you.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now, so why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marty.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marty.com. Marty.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked, or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marty.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marty.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and to keep those landfills light and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marty.com.
Well, here we are back. Man, I love being able to have amazing guests share awesome testimonies. And I feel like I'm closer to a lot of the members of our church because I've gotten to hear their stories. Don't you feel like that, Carl?
Yeah. And if you've been joining us for a while, then you know that one of the episodes, we had an amazing testimony. I think that was with Ms. Kat, right?
No. No, that was with my friend Michelle Vines.
Okay.
That was a crazy testimony.
Yeah, it was. And then
it was.
Like, actually, not all the internet shut off in the back of the house, but we went into the living room. We're like, "Killing us, the internet shut down?" And she's like, "No, everything's fine over here."
Which is strange because at the time, now our internet does work where there's like a front room pod and a back room pod, but at the time that didn't happen, right? So
yeah.
It was absolutely impossible. for the internet to shut down. Like, our phone kicked off. Like, every technical issue that could happen, happened. Yeah, and it was, she had come from being in Wicca. She was a legit witch and came to Christ. So sometimes God does crazy things, trying to keep us
down,
and we spiritual.
That's why I was like, wait, was it a cat?
Yeah, that's not the only person that we know who's come from that background.
Yep.
So anyway, it was an amazing testimony. If you missed that, go back and watch that show or listen to that show. Some questions, guys. Now, if you're listening, you can feel free to call in, and we may even extend the show like 5 minutes. I don't know if Pastor Sean has the availability, but we do. We could stay on a little bit.
I can take five more minutes with you lovely folks.
All right. Yeah. That sounds good. Well, let's offer up our guest call-in number. It's 319-527-6208. That's 319. What do you have it? 319?
319-527-6208.
Cross has it memorized. Press 1 if you want to talk to us. We also have we have the chat room open if you're joining us that way.
And
so you can
actually
ask questions.
Both people actually listen to the show after we posted it.
They do a lot of that too. So we will be up at podcast as well. So let's see here.
We're on YouTube. Woo!
Yeah, we are on YouTube now. That's kind of cool. So have you guys ever considered that the Great Commission, the charge to complete Jesus' mission, is what God is calling you to? Pretty sure Pastor Sean has, but Cross, did you want to speak to that question a little bit?
What?
Have you ever considered the fact that the Great Commission, that charge to complete Jesus' mission here on earth, is what God is calling you to do? He's hiding. I think that for me, I'll answer this a little bit while these are hard questions, right?
Yeah.
For me, I think that as a new believer, we spend a lot of time going, well, what is God calling me to do? What is God calling me to do? And, you know, now as I'm a little bit older, when newer believers ask me that, I go, well, if you look in the Bible, he tells you what he wants you to do. He wants you to spread the good news. Now, how that's going to look for you is going to be a little bit different. So you're going to see what's before you, but wherever you are, you're on mission for the Great Commission. So,
on the mission.
100%.
On the mission for the Great Commission.
You know, I was thinking
Pastor
about this. Yeah, I was thinking about this morning, especially when it comes to our testimonies, right? Like sometimes I think our testimony should always have gospel threads in there. But like sometimes, what is God, the question, right? What has God done for me? And really that's all. God has done the same thing for all of us, and that's what the gospel message is, right? I mean, and so our greatest story, our greatest testimony is what Jesus came to do and how he came to earth, Jesus, you know, God in the flesh, to live a perfect sinless life and die the death mean you deserve for our sins so we could be forgiven. And then he rises again. So anybody who puts their faith and trust in him will be reconciled, will have a restored, renewed relationship with God. So we all have a story to tell. And the greatest story is the gospel story, the good news story. So just keeping that in mind when you're like, oh, what am I going to share? Well, that's the story we're really called to share, right? So.
Right. No, I agree. That's how our story becomes his story, which makes it history, right?
Yeah. So, yeah.
My son literally rolled his eyes at my bad mom joke just there. But, no, history is his story.
Am I wrong? To your point, it is easy sometimes for us to, as believe we can, depending where we're at in our, right, kind of take a step back and say, oh, well, sharing the gospel, that's for those really – spiritual people, or that's for the pastors, and that's for the teachers, and that's for the evangelists. But we see in Ephesians 4, I was just reading this morning, the teachers, the pastors, the preachers, the evangelists, they are gifts given to the church to equip the church body to minister. So it's not just for other people. The Great Commission is for all of us. And that's really why going to church really is so important, so we can be equipped, right, to do ministry. We're all called to minister somewhere. So,
right. And I think that we did a whole sub-teaching once on spiritual gifts. And one of the points that we made was that the spiritual gifts are not doled out like, well, Pastor Sean gets a huge amount of teaching spiritual gifts and a huge amount of evangelism spiritual gifts, but no hospitality gifts. That's not how God works. Everybody has the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit possesses all these gifts. So he may only utilize you primarily in one or two, but you have the capability and the capacity for every gift, and that includes healing and prophecy and preaching and teaching and evangelism. Like, all of them are a part of what the Holy Spirit has to offer, and there's not a junior Holy Spirit. Cross didn't get a smaller portion of the Holy Spirit than I did because he's little.
No.
And we didn't get a smaller portion of the Holy Spirit than Paul did because we're not Paul. Okay? Like, we all have this equal portion of the Holy Spirit, which allows God to move according to our faith. What are we willing to believe in?
That says what she just said. There's no junior Holy Spirit. I actually have a shirt with that.
Right. There is no junior Holy Spirit, is there? No. A Holy Spirit is a Holy Spirit for everybody.
Yeah. No, that's
oh, really?
A great reminder because, yeah, well, sometimes you're right. We get, well, I've got, that's not my gifting. It's like, well, we're all called, some are have a gift of serving, but we're all called to serve. Some have the gift of generosity, and I know you guys will touch this next week, but we're all called to be generous. So 100%. Yeah, it's not a, well, that's your thing and this is my thing. No. Like, we're all called to do all the things, but, yeah, we are, you know, some are, you know, specially gifted in certain areas. But, yes, it doesn't mean you do none of the other things, you know.
Right. And to say called to do all things, and because we have the Holy Spirit technically equipped to do all things in the time and manner where God calls us. So, you know, you can kind of move forward on that.
Well,
what's in your hands? Go ahead.
I was going to just say that's another part when we talk about the Great Commission, right? It's, you know, make disciples of all nations. But what do we do? We teach them to obey, right? And so we're really called to obey whatever God's calling us to do. And it's not like kind of like Moses is. Well, I'm not gifted at speaking. He's like, I didn't ask if you're are you going to be obedient what I'm calling you to do? And same thing. Oh, I'm not gifted in that area. Well, that's what I'm calling you to do. You're called to be obedient, right? So not tell God what you're gifted at. So anyway.
Right. I mean, you know, and we all feel that fear and trepidation when God's calling us outside 100%. Of our area of consider our natural gifting and talent. But one thing to know is that when I'm at the end of myself and the task is not yet complete, that God is the one that has to complete that task. Like, he called me to it, and he was faithful to say that he was going to equip me and that he was going to make sure that I was ready to do that. And if I have done everything that I can, that's when miraculous things happen. This is why we don't always see the miraculous working in our lives, is because we are afraid to step out and do the things that we don't feel like we're entirely equipped to do. Not understanding that when I come to the end of myself, that's when God and his miracles and his intervention begins.
I love that. Yeah, taking on, you were talking about it earlier with like even doing this show, like, jumping into something where you're like, oh, man, I don't feel like I can do this. That's a great place to be, because you're right, you can't. And now we become completely dependent on the Holy Spirit. And now, man, now we're operating in a place of strength, because we're operating out of his strength and not our own. So 100% finding, like, where is God challenging you to take that step that 100% takes faith and dependence on him? That's where we want to be, doing something where you're like, there is no way I can do this without you. That's where we want to be, you know? So I love that.
And honestly, 100% of the time, he does everything better than I do anyway. So, like, I love getting to that place, you know, where I'm like, you know, in this case, maybe writing and teaching. And, you know, I'm like, okay, God, well, that was like the extent of my knowledge. And then I'll, like, step away for a minute, and he just starts speaking. I'm like, oh, where's my notes?
Yeah.
I need to write this down.
That's one of my favorite parts of prepping is just that those days before where you're like, you feel him speaking. So it's just like constant, right? Like you're in the car, you're like, ooh, 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 ooh. And he's just constantly speaking to you because we're open and receptive to hear from him, you know? So
it's where his narrative becomes part of our narrative, the things that we can share because he's spoken to us. You know, and that's the privilege of being in the Word and sharing the Word. So We probably only have time for one more question because we're good at talking these things out. I think that the next we're going to look at number two on my list here. What is in your hand? What gifts, talents, treasures do you possess that God can use for his glory? Can you think of any gifts, talents, or treasures that you still need to submit to God to use? So, and I was actually thinking of you. I have a young man here trying to hide in sheep because these are hard questions. Because I think that we, as adults, having walked for a while, we've already found some of our gifts and talents, right? What kinds of things do you lend, Cross? What do you think? What kind of gifts and talents do you have that God could use? Do you have anything in mind?
Hiding.
Hiding. He says hiding. I don't know. Pastor, did you want to speak to this one first?
Yeah, and I want to speak to Cross just what I see. Man, the way you, at your age, just the way you unpack Scripture, understand Scripture, remember your heart and your passion for God's work, that's the Holy Spirit working in you. You are gifted in that area, my friend, and so just walk in that. But that passion you have to just know God deeper, that's the Holy Spirit working in your life. So just understand that, and I see all sorts of giftings in your life when it comes to teaching, and just even you're talking about the Hebrew words. It's quite impressive, by the way. But I think in terms of, like, giftings we have in our hands, I think it's so powerful. It's hard. I don't know about you, Felicia, but sometimes when that question comes up, it's awkward to answer because I think sometimes we don't want to declare our gifts because we don't want to seem like, do you ever face that where you don't really want to, like, hey, this is where I'm gifted? I don't know. Sometimes I feel that way. Like, I don't want to share what I think I'm gifted at because I don't want them to think, like, oh, he look at all that pride, right? I don't know. Do you ever feel that way?
Well, yes. But at the same time, I think to myself, I'm like, there are places where I know I've poured in time to developing. And so I guess I kind of feel like most of the time those gifts, like, you know, like you've been a salesperson. Clearly you have spent a lot of time developing how to convey information to people who don't know it. And you're a natural teacher, but you've also spent time honing that talent and learning to connect with people. You're a real people person. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I know I can see this, and I know that you see it because I know you spent time training those gifts. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I have to 100% in your industry.
No, and I do see it. The way where I was kind of going with that is when we were talking about Romans 12:3, right? And it tells us to not think too highly of ourselves, right? But it also tells us to think soberly. And it really what's saying is, like, think accurately about ourselves. And so we should have a right view of ourselves. And one way we view ourselves is in light and truth of the gospel. But another way is understanding that we have gifts and abilities and we are one part of a larger body. And understanding that, though, teaches us to not think too highly understanding what we're good, what we're not good at, and what we can't do, because if we don't understand that, then we're not going to be reliant first on, you know, God, but also we're not going to rely on others and operate correctly in the body of Christ. But we also need to not think too lowly of ourselves. And you touched on this early on, not think too lowly of ourselves, understanding and walking in the truth that God has given us gifts and talents and abilities, because if we shy away from that, then we're not going to effectively use what God's put in our hands to serve others. So where I was kind of going with that is, like, kind of fight that urge to not want to stand and be okay. Like, yeah, I'm gifted in this area, and it took me a little time, but yeah, I do think God's gifted me in teaching. I think there's a gift of maybe some exhortation and being able to encourage people. But sometimes it's, for me, it was just like, I don't want to seem like, you know, I don't want to share that. But in doing that, we have a right view of ourselves. And we're understanding, like, yeah, I have gifts and talents and resources. And knowing that is really powerful in helping us to walk in accordance to what he's calling us to do in the larger body of Christ. So I think it's really important that people spend some time figuring out and understanding what God's put in their hands. And I think we do that first by serving and trying different things, obviously by going over some of the spiritual gifts. And you're going to go over those next week and you're kind of studying those and unpacking those and through reading God's word and prayer, like, okay, where am I gifted? And then to your point, we have to use our giftings and kind of hone in and develop those, right? So it's kind of a long-winded answer,
right.
That's kind of where I was going with that.
No, and I think that's great, and I think that you've hit on some things. One of the things that I remember being a very young Christian and coming into being a Christian with a bit of an ego. Like, let me be real, okay? I had a bit of an ego, probably still do. God keep, God bless, okay? but kind of coming in with because I had been one of those youth who really did develop a lot of their gifts and talents and stuff like that. I would not even say necessarily ego, but say confidence in self. Let's put it that way. Okay.
Okay.
And then I felt like I went through a period of time where I was almost ashamed of everything that I was, you know, and was like, you know, obviously nothing that I've done is any good outside of Christ. And there's truth to that. I can't do anything without Christ. Right. But mm-hmm. everything that God made was good, okay? God created me, and he made me good, and he put gifts there. So you kind of want to hit this happy medium, right, where we're not, like, self-sustaining, and we understand that God has gifted us and given us talents. He was happy with them the way that he made us, and that he has a purpose and a plan for us beginning from where we're at right now. That's a great place to start and understand that we don't have to be ashamed of having gifts and talents and things going on, because those are things that God has placed in us for a purpose that he has in mind for us. But then also to know that we don't do anything of any real significance apart from him and his calling. So we want to take who we are and who he's made us and submit that to God. And not to fall into the trap of doing this whole self-loathing thing, right? To really honestly take inventory of, you know, God made us. He said that when he made us, it's good. He knit us together in our mother's womb with intentionality. And while there are some things that I'm going to have to work on yielding to his submission and finding new ways to do them, there are some things that he's put in there that he's planted as a seed and wants to see fruit and come to full fruition through our obedience and service to him. So I kind of put that in because I think it is kind of a hard question, like how do we move forward in that in both humility. But humility doesn't necessarily mean thinking ourselves as lowly, but thinking of ourselves in proper context to who we are, based on a relationship mm-hmm. with God, and that we are to be connected to him, but that he does good things. And if he created us, then there's something there that he sees that's worthwhile and seeking to see that too. So maybe we need to do that prayerfully. So,
I love, think of just Ephesians 2:10, where it's right. We're God's handiwork, right? We're his masterpiece, creating Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance. So that's how he sees us. And I think to your point, the way we keep from getting too kind of high is just we just remember that the gifts they're gifts given to us by God. So it's not that we've produced these in ourselves, but he's given them to us. And so that it's not only that, you know, it's his grace that sustains us and equips us, and it's his Holy Spirit that's working in us with the gifts he's given. I think that kind of helps us from, like, oh, this is all me. It's like, no. Like, yes, you work and you pour into them and develop them, but it's ultimately a gift given to you. So just keeping that in mind, that it's all by grace, you know, keeps us from getting too high. But.
Precisely. And at that, I think we'll just end it because I think that was so well said. And we are a little over time. So, guys, we'll see you next week. We're going to be talking a little bit more about the gifts of the Spirit and hopping in there. And you'll be back with me, right, Carl?
Yep.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. Have a good week.
All right.
Bye.
God bless you guys. Thank you. I'll see you.